Good morning, ladies. We are so excited to have you here, and we are live streaming in 1 minute. So we need you girls in the back to come in. So blessed that you're here today. Happy Wednesday. We started yesterday in Psalm 48, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." And he has already shown himself great, hasn't he? Just in bringing us together, just in the joy that erupts when we're together, we're so blessed. The next verse in Psalm 48, "He is beautiful for situations." Anybody got a situation out there? Yep, okay, it just bubbled right up to the top of your thoughts. And you're saying, "Michelle, why? Why? We were so happy, we were praising God, and you had to bring up, what is it, your boss, your finances, your health, your husband, your kids, those kids. Whatever it is, Dr. Stephen said in his message, "Beautiful for situation," you need that situation. Don't you dare run from it. Really, please listen to that message. It's in the archives, "Beautiful for situations." Number one, you need it. Number two, it needs you. Those people that drive you nuts need you. All right, they need you to be strong in the Lord and reveal his beautiful grace. So we talked yesterday about putting on the belt of truth, and I'm not going to repeat what I said about it. You go look up in the archives what I said, because it's just unmentionable, right? We also put on the breastplate of righteousness. How do we do that? How do we get that armor? We sit before the Lord. All of you I see are dressed, and I'm assuming all of you watching, Uganda, we see you, India, we see you, we love you. I'm assuming you're all dressed. You took the time to get dressed. We've got to take the time to get spiritually dressed. So when I put on my belt of truth, I'm praising God in my kitchen. When I put on my breastplate of righteousness, I am sitting on my couch silently before the Lord. Now, my thoughts start bubbling and going crazy, but I just, okay, I'm aware of them. I start laying this stuff out. What's bubbling up in my mind in the morning? I lay it out before the Lord. And then those gospel shoes, I got to get my shoes on in the morning. So I ask the Lord next, where do I go today? Okay, you see what's, okay, the grocery store? Do I go? Do I not go? I've got a lovely schedule, but Lord, do you want to interrupt it? So I praise the Lord. Oh, that gives me my belt of truth. I sit silently for a few minutes. Oh, that gets my breastplate on. That covers my heart. And before I get my shoes on and get going, zooming out the door, Lord, where do you want my steps to go today? Let's just confirm that. I have a to-do list. Are we going to do that today? So I'm listening. I'm listening. Our first speaker this morning, this is so exciting. She's all the way from Africa, and we didn't hardly know she was coming. And when I think of Julie Armin, I think of joyful submission. And she's probably wondering, what? Well, we see her blog, we see her life, we see how she interacts with her husband and children. There's always joy on her face, always. And this has just ministered to me so much. Look at her blog, it's so beautiful, the things that she writes. Look at her beautiful countenance, and we just know it's the joy of the Lord is bubbling up in her. So welcome, dear Julie Armin.
Good morning. Wow. How are you all doing? Wow. I'm not sure I am. it's really humbling for me to be here. I don't know why I said yes, you know. I was with my husband when I got the text, and we prayed together, and usually my first answer would be, of course not. Of course I'm not going to come up and speak, because this is not what I do naturally, for sure. I I'm Julie for, I don't know if you don't know already. I'm from, just a 1 minute presentation. I'm from France originally. I grew up there. Françoise is from my home church with Philippe. I grew up in the church. And I met my husband in France while visiting there. We were together in Budapest. From there, I finished Bible college here at MBCNS, graduated in 2003, which I can't believe it. We got married the same year and moved to Southern Africa with a new team in 2004. And we were there without children, moved back here for a few years, went back to Zambia, and then from Zambia in the southern part, we moved to Malawi and have been there ever since. And even though, of course, it's not easy, but the joy of the Lord, you know, it's even not easy for me to come back here. It's been 2 years now, the last time we were here. And it's funny how when you get ready to go on the mission field, you're here thinking, you know, of this imaginary life that you could have on a mission field. And you fear this and that. You don't know how God is going to provide. You don't know how you're going to be able to do it with your family. And this time around, it was me over there fearing coming back here. And it's interesting because I was there comfortable in my life, and I feared almost the unknown, all the things that we've been hearing. And I know it sounds strange, but over the years, we haven't had a way back to come back to America. So we were in Malawi, not knowing, every year, trusting God for the money. And God, you know, every year has been providing. And so after 2 years, it was time for us to decide to come back. And I was like, God, really? You know, is it really the time? I think it is. It's been 2 years. And so we tried to go. Our flights were getting canceled. We're like, okay, God, are we supposed to be going? Visiting my family in France. And then finally, 2 days before, our flight gets canceled. And we're like, God, you know, what's the way out for now? You know, since we know it's the time for us to go home for a little bit, to just be refreshed and just be away a little bit. And God provided. We found a flight, had a great time in my hometown with my home church. And then here we are, here. And just continue about this, you know, fear of the unknown, and how I was, you know, reading in 2 Timothy 1:7 that God has not given us a spirit of fear. And then when I trust in him, he will keep us safe. And obviously with all the things that we hear, you know, we're like, we blow things up. You know, we're like, how are we going to do it? How are we going to get sick? Even though we live in Africa, now we have to fear, you know, being at the airport, and not even knowing how people are going to receive us on the way. And then what I wanted to read about is, let me see, Zephaniah 3:17. I was thinking at the title of the conference, you know, the house of the Lord, and how we come into the house of the Lord, and how God sees us in the house of the Lord. You know, we can just be available, just show up, just be present in the house of the Lord, and how God sees us in it. Because we come, and even me, when I come here, I'm like, okay, you know, I'm coming back from far. Do I remember people? Do they remember me? And just how God, you know, God is bringing us back here, and how he sees me, how he loves me, and the reason why we are here. Because we could easily be somewhere else right now, you know, with what's going on. And here, Zephaniah 3:17, how God rejoices I just wrote down 3 points. Do I have it here? Let me see. Three 17. The Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you because we are here. You know, he will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet. He will give you rest with his father's love. He will rejoice over you with singing. And it really encouraged me. I don't remember. I think maybe it was in Marlboro. I heard about this verse and it's just stuck with me. How he gives us his joy. He rejoices over me being here. And even if we don't know where we are going, he gives us his joy and he's also rejoicing for us. And then one last verse, Psalm 27. It's about the theme of the conference. 27 verse 4, no, 1 through 4. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And like I just want to dwell in the house of the Lord. And I think I'm so enjoying being here. And thank you for your love and your prayers while we are away, while we are here. Also, it's, you know, we have a few different things going on. And thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you. No, you're perfect. So beautiful. Honey, we will never forget you. Yay. He's beautiful for situations, right? The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Our next speaker, so sweet. Sorry, getting funny about you. We love our girls so much, and I got her card last year at the women's seminar. In each little bag, there was a card, and I got her card, so I prayed for Rachel Jones all year, and when I think of her, I think of courage, because she is a missionary to Romania, and we have seen many missionaries in this room. So we know many of you have taken the steps over the years to leave your home and family, and we're honored by that. But she has a particularly wonderful and unique family. They are colorful, they're exciting, and it must have been hard to leave this wonderful family. She has wonderful friends. We see when she comes home the love and the joy her friends have. So that must have been really hard. So when I think of Rachel Jones, I think of courage, because she has set her own path with the Lord. And when everyone is going one way, she's that little fish. If you've seen The Chosen, you've seen the title series where a little fish starts following a big fish. She's our little fish that has followed our big shepherd, our big fisherman. So we're blessed by Rachel Jones.
Thank you. I was not expecting that. Thank you. Oh, excuse me. Test. Hello. Sorry. Please excuse my beautiful, raspy teacher VBS voice. Oh my gosh. Lord, help me. Okay. Dear God, please bless these words. Bless this time. Please give these ladies what they need to hear. And please calm my beating heart. Amen. Wow, I was so not expecting that beautiful introduction. Thank you. I'm going to try not to cry from the get-go. Okay, so, yes, my name is Rachel. I'm from Baltimore. Most of you maybe know me or have seen my face on a screen at some point. I graduated from NBCNS 3 years ago, and then that summer I made the best decision of my life and moved. Moved to Brașov, Romania. Please give me a tissue, someone. I literally was like, I'm going to need to bring one with me.
I made sure I brought some today.
Well, it's not a women's event if there's not tears, so. Okay. It's the nerves and everything. Okay. So, I moved to Brașov, Romania. That is my home right now. It feels more home than I ever felt here, which is no offense to Baltimore, but it just proves to me that this is where God has me. Okay, I want to get right into these thoughts because God gave me so much, and I'm usually, if I'm asked to speak, it's like, oh, Lord, I don't even know what to say. I have nothing. And He just gave me so many thoughts in the week that I've been here. And to quote Pastor Chris, it's just an amalgamation of everything I've heard in the last week with other thoughts that God has given me before. And I just kind of ordered everything on paper. And I just want to give it to you because I was so, so encouraged by these thoughts. Michelle asked me to speak about, you know, my thoughts on this topic, the house of the Lord. And the word that God gave me is refuge. In the house of the Lord is where we find our refuge. And this thought is very fresh. It actually just came to me yesterday. So I'm helping with VBS this week. And there's a Bible verse each day. And I went through this verse with the kids. And, you know, last minute I came up with these little motions to help them remember, because that really helps you when you have a motion connected. And so, kind of on the spot, like right before I got on stage, I thought of the motions, and so I'll show you so you can remember. And the verse is Nahum 1:7. The Lord is a good, this is usually with both hands, but I have a mic. The Lord is a good, strong refuge to those who are in trouble. So He's a good, strong refuge. And it was so cute. We did the motions over and over, and this is the Bible verse of the day, you know, let's remember it. And so they're saying it over and over. And then I realized, okay, I'm like, okay, who here, does anybody know what the word refuge means? Because I'm realizing, okay, they're 6 and 7 years old. And they're all like, no. Like, well, He's a refuge. We don't know what a refuge is. So I thought I should define it for all of us here, just in case. I looked up the Merriam-Webster's definition, and refuge is a shelter or protection from danger or distress. And I was thinking that, okay, the Lord is our refuge, but it is in the house of the Lord where this refuge can be manifested. And okay, if the Lord is our refuge, He's a shelter from danger or distress, then it begs the question, what is the trouble that the Lord is protecting us from in this refuge? And I thought, well, we have three enemies that we constantly need to retreat from: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Those three things alone are enough reason for us to need to run to our refuge. Also, if you like alliteration, there are a lot of R's coming your way. I don't know why. Maybe it's because my name is Rachel. But there's a lot of R's in what I have to say. So the Lord is our refuge. We need to retreat from the world, the flesh, and the devil. They are never going to stop coming for us, as we know in the Word. And that gives us all the more reason to come into the house of the Lord. So the house of the Lord is a refuge. It's a safe place. It's a place where you can just be. I loved what Pastor Schaller said last Wednesday. He quoted this verse from Proverbs 15:17. We can turn there really quick. There's also a bunch of scripture, so just get ready for that. Okay, Proverbs 15:17. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is. That's it. And I know in the contrast of the verse, it's like it's better to just have these little herbs with God than this marvelous feast in the world. But what I got from it, I was thinking like herbs are amazing. Herbs are what give our food flavor. And I was thinking if you've ever had a really well-made salad with all the right things, like you're not missing the fattened ox because you have the flavor there. And so I was thinking that herbs are delicious. And like if we make this parallel with the church, these herbs are in the church are a place of joy. They actually bring us real delight and pleasure. And then in addition to that, herbs are nutritious. They're also medicinal. So the church is a place of herbs. Yes, okay, we're not like the fattened ox, but there is something here for us in that. So we can find joy, we can find healing even in the house of the Lord when we're running to this refuge. And then I have a couple main points of what refuge gives us the opportunity to do. And these words are directly from that same message, Pastor Schaller. I really don't have context for what he was talking about. I just wrote these three words in bullet points, and I had a feeling that God was going to have me talk about this and that this would be a root thought for what I was going to share about, because I knew beforehand that I was going to speak. So I went back to my notes, and I just kind of went through these words and thought, Lord, what are you saying here? What do you want to show us? And it's this really cool 1-2-3 step of enjoying the refuge of God. So the first thing that refuge gives us the opportunity to do is to rest. So we're retreating from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And when I was explaining refuge to the kids yesterday, I was asking if any of them had been to the homecoming and hymns when it just started pouring the other night, and everyone had to find a refuge and go under and get away from that rain. So the first thing you do when you find your refuge is you're able to rest. You're able to just stop moving. That's like as simple as that. And I think as our world gets more modern and fancy, and especially in Western culture, everything is just getting faster and faster and faster. And that is not how God designed us to live. And that's something, a huge thing I learned in Romania, just to live slowly and simply. Like, I just love that so much, and it's taught me so much. We can rest in the refuge of God, and it's not until we simply stop moving that we can actually become aware of our surroundings, and our eyes can be open to what God has for us. And I thought of this verse in Psalm 23:2, that God leads us. So we're in green pastures with him in the refuge, and we're by the still waters. That's where he's placed us. But if we're not resting and we're not still enough to see it, we'll never notice. When you're running, when you're hustling, your peripheral vision is virtually useless. All you see is this teeny little pinhole in front of you. But if you take the time to slow down and just stop, it's only then that your eyes can adjust to what's going on, and that your eyes can see the green pastures and the still waters. And I had this idea last night. I was thinking, wow, green pastures and still waters are some of the most soothing visuals for the human soul. I don't think I've ever been with anyone in a green space who didn't just stand there and say, isn't this marvelous? Isn't this wonderful? Or being by the still water and just thinking, I needed this. This is incredible. So this is what God is calling us to, but we can only experience it if we take the time to rest. That can only happen in the refuge of the Lord. So resting. And after we rest, once we stop moving, we can relax. Because it takes time. You don't just run around and you sit down, okay, I'm relaxed. It's like a process, and we all know this. You need that just vegetation time on the couch where you just notice your heart rate slowing down. You can feel the coziness of the blanket and the pillow, and that's just the becoming aware aspect, you know? But then in the house of the Lord, we can relax. And when we relax, what do? We breathe deep. We can soak in stillness. And again, it's the stillness that not only allows us to see, but it allows us to hear the word with a clear mind. We can hear things because we're not occupied with all of these things that are happening. And I was thinking, if we can relax in the house of the Lord, in our refuge, we can breathe deep. We can soak in the stillness. And then God has place in our hearts and in our minds, and he can speak his truth to us. And I'm not occupied with my cares. I can hear from him. And I would like you to turn to Jeremiah 31. I realized also in that message from Pastor Schaller that I'd never really read this chapter before, and it just blew me away. And then yesterday, Gosha was speaking about Jeremiah, and I was like, yes, this is awesome. So Jeremiah 31, 3, verse 4. This is what we get to hear after we've rested, after we're relaxing. Our mind is open to hear what God has to say. This was so beautiful. 3 and 4. The Lord appeared to him from far away, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be built, O Virgin Israel. This is what we need to hear in our refuge. We hear the truth that God loves us, that he will keep loving us, that it is everlasting. It's everlasting, and that he is going to do the work. He said, I will build you, and you shall be built. Not, I will build you, and you're going to help me get the pieces, and we're going to stack them together. It's like, you're in the refuge, maybe you're broken down, but I am the one that's going to be doing the building. And I love that he calls her on purpose, O Virgin Israel. This spoke to me so much, because Israel was messed up. They were not listening to any of their prophets through all of the Old Testament. They had other lovers. They were not faithful to the Lord. They were not. It was a disgrace. But he has everlasting love towards them and towards us. And he says, I call you virgin. That blew me away when I read it. And then, so after we hear these truths, we're built up in truth. He is doing the work. Then the third word is respond. This is what Pastor Schaller said, respond. Okay, now I've rested, I've relaxed, and then something can come from me. But it's not without those first two things. When I reorient myself in his refuge, I can finally be awake to his calling, his leading in my life. I'm sensitive to the Holy Spirit that has something personal to say to me. I don't have to try and figure out what I'm supposed to do with my life by listening to a song or all these different preachers or, well, what did that person do with their life? And that worked out for them and they're spiritual and they're doing okay. Maybe I can do that. But no, I get so accustomed to hearing his voice. I know his truth so that when the Holy Spirit calls me, I know my shepherd's voice, and I can follow him securely without needing thousands of counselors. Yes, it's good that we speak to trusted people, but we also need to know the voice of our shepherd, because maybe there's not someone available to speak to. Maybe it is something that it just has to be between him and I so that I know that it's from him. And so when we have these things, we rest. We relax, we can respond. Then our life has an overflow. Our life has a fragrance. And then we begin to draw others into the refuge. And not even by grabbing them, but just by being living examples, living proof. And this was another thing Pastor Schaller said from that message. He said, Christians should always have a song. And I love that. Because you can't help but your heart sing, even if you don't have a good voice. You want to sing in the happiest, most joyful moments of your life. Really? I mean, it's It's either that or laughter. And those things are a result of deep, deep joy that cannot be manufactured. And so I have another, I want to skip down in Jeremiah 31. This is the result of resting, relaxing, and responding to the Lord in the refuge of his house. So this is the result, 12 to 14. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord. We can't help but sing, and we can't help but shine, and we are not the ones making it happen. Over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd, their life shall be like a watered garden, and they shall languish no more. Our life is like a watered garden. You cannot walk by a watered garden without taking notice of the color, of the smell, of the texture. Our eyes are drawn to these things, and it's incredible that we can be compared to a watered garden. So we sit there, we're rooted in the Lord. There's another R. We're rooted in the Lord. We shine, we have fragrance, we're drawing people, but it's the Lord's work. And really, my thought was, this is actually what missions is. I know my place in the refuge of the Lord. There's an incredible work as a result, and all it does is draw others to that. So let's keep finding our refuge and leading others to do the same. Amen.
We didn't expect this to be a Kleenex morning. Okay, phew. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is beautiful for situations, the joy of the whole earth. And it's amazing. Psalm 48, verse 3, God is known in her palaces for a refuge. So beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Lord, for weaving everything together today. How many of you have visited New York City? Okay, awesome, crazy place, great pizza, right? All right. What do most people want to see in the harbor when they go to New York City? Statue of Liberty. Our next speaker for me is like the Statue of Liberty. When I think of Laura Chatton, I think of a compass. In all the years I've known her, and we should have a conversation about when we first met, she's always pointing north. She's always pointing to the Lord. A few years ago, we had an interesting leadership transition. How many of you remember that? Not any fun at all, right? Because we didn't know what we were doing. But that's wonderful. That's an opportunity for faith. So you all had a big opportunity for faith. And I talked to Jim Beckier one day, and he had the most simple advice. I said, Jim, what are you thinking? And he goes, oh, stick with the soul winners. Four words. Stick with the soul winners. Stick with the soul winners. That was like a compass point for me. And I think of Laura Chatton, and she is like a compass point for me. We're not following her, we're following her faith. And that's all we have seen through the decades, honey. Faith to go on the mission field, faith to come back, faith to go again, faith to come back, faith to get married. So exciting. And then go on the mission field and come back. So we love Laura Chatton's faith.
Hi. Well, that to me, I think we had a precious appetizer and a feast of a main meal. Now this is just the dessert, okay? That was incredible. We have discovered a teacher, right? Wow. Thank you. Both of you, so precious. Lord, thank you. We love these times, and you have prepared them for us. Thank you. We just love this fellowship together. Lord, thank you for this time. Just bless this last little portion. We look to you for that. In your name, amen. So, aren't we like so in love with each other? I love being with you guys. And I know we all feel this. It's just so awesome. And this is a very special time that God gives us to feast together. And I think of it like a banquet, kind of like a buffet table, but with only healthy things. But delicious healthy things. You know what I mean, right, Chris? And we get these meditations, and we get to eat them together. And they become more and more part of us. We become stronger and healthier. And like old thoughts that were not so healthy become discarded for true and lovely thoughts that are really nourishing us and establishing us. And also blessed, healthy emotions, right? Like thankfulness and joy and wonder. We have this ceaseless wonder as the Lord keeps opening up to us who he is. And these emotions replace our junk emotions. We got junk thoughts replaced by the good food, and then we got junk emotions, and they're being replaced. So I was thinking, like, why is every revelation of him so delightful and so satisfying to us? Just and I was brought back to this verse that we love, and Pastor Schaller mentioned it a couple times recently, and it's in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 15:16. I think we know it. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And they were unto me the joy and rejoicing, or the English Standard Version says, the delight of my heart. For I'm called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. So why are they so delightful? Well, we're taking it in, the word. We're chewing it. That's part of eating it, right? That we know is meditation. And we just keep turning it over, and the light from these truths is like exquisite. You know, he gives us a personal rhema or something he's speaking in a message, and we're like, whoa, you know, don't rush past that one. And we take that one home, like taking something off of the buffet table, like, ooh, that, ooh, yeah, I'm not passing that up. And then we chew it in this like incredibly expensive buffet food thought is like, I don't want that taste to go away. And I'm turning it over. And I finally like, okay, I think I've got all of that out of it. And you swallow it and it becomes yours. And that light starts to affect you and become the joy and rejoicing of our heart, right? It's like, this is mine. This thing that the Lord spoke. And I'm getting to know him better through it. And it's always like mind-blowingly good. And why is it so good and satisfying? I think it's because of this for part at the end of Jeremiah 15:16. For I'm called by your name. As I am learning more and more about who my Father, who my Savior, even who the Holy Spirit is, I'm also learning more about who I am. Because he's my Father and I have his DNA. And I'm also learning more and more about who we all are. This is our family. And this is who we are. So I heard something. It was actually not this week, but last week, that just like I couldn't get past it. It was too wonderful. So I feel like if I didn't tell you about it, it'd be like not telling you about the Godiva chocolate cheesecake on the table. That's just not right, you know. So I've got to tell you about this thought that I heard from Pastor John Sabo. You know how the week before convention, they always have the science guys. We have Pastor Phil Norman, and we have Pastor John Sabo. And he shared something that was just so incredible Of course, I can't like do what he did with the slides and everything, but I can mention the thought. It's called quantum entanglement. And you can look it up. There are experiments that have been done in physics in the area of quantum mechanics and things that we've never even thought of. That's okay. God wrote this stuff for us, into nature, for us as illustrations, because all of creation is speaking of who he is. And I just want to mention the principle of it, so let's not be intimidated by the terms. Quantum entanglement means, oh, brother, if I had a speechless mic, okay. I mean, you know what I mean, one of those things. That two particles are inextricably linked, and they affect each other even if they can be separated. And they've done experiments with photons. Okay, thank you, Nicole, for smiling. She's a science thinker. They have done these experiments where even if they're separated, these two particles affect each other still, and it doesn't matter the distance. And they've even done experiments where if they're separated, they can affect each other if they're in different times. This is the wild thing. The thing that's further along in time, when it's affected, it can actually affect the thing back here. It is so crazy that Einstein called it spooky action at a distance. He just could not understand it. But God wrote these things in here, I'm convinced, just for his glory, that we could see more of our salvation. And you probably see where I'm going with this. Like, this revolutionized my heart, because, one more time, quantum entanglement means two particles are so linked together that even if they're separated, what happens to one affects the other. And even time is not affected by that. All right, so we are in Christ. And Paul said this 164 times in his epistles. We are in Christ. And what happened to Jesus Christ affects me. So he was crucified 2,000 years ago, and we were in him. He was buried, and everything was dead and still, and we were in that. He was raised from the dead above all of this atmosphere that troubles us. And he is seated, Mike, on high at the right hand of the glory in heaven. And so are we. We are entangled in Christ and inextricable. We cannot be separated from him. This illustration is just blowing my mind so much that now everything that I read about Christ is going to be affecting me, and I have to pause and consider its implications for me. He is a healer. And I believe that where we go, we affect people with healing because of our soundness. We dispel atmospheres. He is a shepherd, a good shepherd, and we have these little shepherdesses in our hearts. You know, in Song of Solomon 1, you know, she was a shepherdess. He was in love with a shepherdess. So this Christ is our essence. He's who we are. And as we meditate on him in his word, and we sow to ourselves in the Spirit in Galatians 6:8, we begin to enjoy more and more the experience of who he is. And we are transformed from glory to glory in 2 Corinthians 3:18. 1 John 4:17 in the Amplified classic. Do you know there's now two versions of the Amplified? So, but it's the classic one that first, you know, won my heart. So that's the one I go to. Okay. So I'll just read this verse for you. In this union and communion with him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment with assurance and boldness to face him, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's that quantum entanglement illustration again. I just think it's so amazing. One day, we will be fully satisfied. Psalm 17:15, as for me, I will behold your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake. The King James says, with your likeness. Some of the others say, beholding your likeness. Either way, because he is me, and as we behold him, we're being transformed. But one day we'll be fully satisfied, and yet we'll be feasting for all eternity. No veil. But right now, isn't the Lord providing plenty for us to feast on? It is so rich. And the bridegroom says in Song of Solomon 5:1, in the B part, he says, eat, O friends, eat, drink. Yes, drink abundantly, O beloved. Feast, feast on all that I have for you. Take these meditations home, you know, take them in, and then we feast and we chew and we have these precious revelations of our salvation, our Savior, of the body, our eternal companion. And boy, it's just so satisfying, isn't it, what the Lord provides? All right, so that's my little dessert piece in Jesus' name. Amen.